May it please the court, Christian Brash here for the appellant Robert Coben in this case.
Yes, sir. Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honor.
You may begin when ready.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, this is a case involving the possession of child pornography. Specifically, we're dealing with 54 images from a bench trial that arose from the Circuit Court of Orange County.
Counsel, may I ask you a question as you begin? The Commonwealth, in its brief and footnote on page number 20, appears to attempt to identify from the record the 9 photographs which were in the recycle bin by case number. Although at the trial, Exhibit 2, the forensic expert's report, identified the 9 photographs in the recycle bin and paired them with the specific case numbers, the trial court only admitted the photographs and didn't admit the remainder of the report. Do you have an issue with the Commonwealth's representation as to what case numbers constituted the 9 photographs in the recycle bin?
I don't know that I can say accurately which case numbers those link up with, Your Honor, because I was not the individual trying this case. There are 2 other attorneys who tried the case. They declined to represent Mr. Coben on appeal. I think it was a monetary issue. I was appointed to represent Mr. Coben after Judge Bowden deliberated for about 2 weeks to determine which attorney of the court-appointed attorneys he wanted to appoint. As I've discussed with counsel, Your Honor, part of the difficulty with this case is there are inaccuracies in the record in that we cannot concisely link up which images go to which case number.
Can we encourage you to put your head together again with Commonwealth's representative and see if you can provide us at least a roadmap as to what links up with what and submit it by stipulation or something?
We could do that, yes, sir.
Commonwealth agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
Your Honor, what we're dealing with here are 54 images. Of those images, 20 were certified from the lower court, 31 were by direct indictment in August of 2013, 3 were by direct indictment in November of 2013. Of those images, 45 of the images were basically constituted out of data fragments found in the unallocated space on one of the computers. 9 of the images were found in a recycle bin.
The Commonwealth, in its brief, concedes error regarding the 45.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want us to accept the Commonwealth's concession?
Yes, ma'am, I would. In looking at the case of U.S. versus...
That would have been the worst wrong answer in the world, I think.
In the case of U.S. versus Moreland, what the Moreland case looked at specifically was, is there knowing possession? And the difficulty with the images that are in the unallocated space is they're basically file fragments. They're file fragments that cannot be accessed unless specialized software is used. There's absolutely no evidence in the record that Mr. Coben had any of that specialized software so they could access any of those file fragments.
Right, so now we're down to the 9.
Yes, sir. Dealing with the 9 images in the recycle bin, there's a different argument that applies. We're not dealing so much with a technological argument as simply with an access argument. As the Commonwealth pointed out in their brief, the 9 images in the recycle bin were found in a user account labeled Coben. Now, the difficulty with that is we know from the record there are at least 2 persons named Coben because this whole case was set in motion when Mrs. Coben went to the police and that prompted the search warrant. So we don't know if the Coben account relates to Mr. Coben or to Mrs. Coben.
But further, was she the one who went to the police when
yes,
she
sir.
Found this?
So yes, sir.
Maybe that's devious and Machiavellian to try, you know, but did she not testify they weren't her images?
I believe Ms. Coben did not testify, Your Honor. There was a motion filed by her to prevent her from testifying based upon marital privilege.
Okay.
But, Your Honor, the difficulty with the 9 images in the recycle bin is we don't know who was viewing those images. Granted, in order to be placed in the recycle bin, given the way Windows technology works, somebody had to delete those images, which would mean that at some point they were on the computer. But we don't know who was using those computers. Unfortunately, there was no evidence on the record as to who had access to the Coben computers. There was no evidence as to whether these computers were password protected. We know from the record that Mr. Coben had 2 minor children in the home. Either of them could have been using this computer, or Mrs. Coben herself could have been using this computer. And that's if we're assuming that the images were placed there intentionally, Your Honor. There are many theories which were set forth in both the trial court and in our brief that lay forth how these images could have been placed there inadvertently. There's a possibility of a malicious virus.
Let's, and I appreciate what you're saying, counsel, but if we look at the appendix page 395, said at the time, appellant told investigator Mabuez, and I apologize if I mispronounced that name, that investigators would find what they were looking for in the nightstand, the pink file cabinet, and the computer. Investigator Mabuez asked appellant what he meant when he spoke of that, what the investigators were looking for, and appellant replied that he had referred to what was on the search warrant.
Yes, sir.
So in that case, there's at least a representation that your client knew what the investigators were looking for and what they were likely to find on the computer that he had control over.
I would disagree with that, Your Honor. Becky Mardus asked Coben, where are the items we're looking for? Mr. Coben, who had been, I believe, parked in the car for about 4 hours while they went through his house, said, you'll find these items. The distinction, Your Honor, is we're dealing with two search warrants here. Laid out in the appendix, I believe at page 89 in one of the briefs, there's a reference to two search warrants. The first search warrant was looking for computer items, such as flash drives, floppy disks, hard drives, computer hardware. The second search warrant, which was executed subsequent to the first, when Mr. Coben was already in custody, was looking for child pornography. So the reference when Mr. Coben said, you'll find what you're looking for, he was actually referring to the computer technology itself when they were looking for thumb drives, hard drives, floppy disks and computer hardware. That's why he was referencing both the computer and the file cabinet itself. Because if the court, on reviewing the record, no actual physical images were found. So nothing of a child pornographic nature was ever found in a file cabinet. So Mr. Coben's answer would have been in error if the court assumes that he was answering where the child pornography was. What makes more sense and what Mr. Coben was referring to, Your Honor, is he was referring to where they would find the computer technology in and of itself. The other problem, Your Honor, as I was alluding to before, is we don't know that these images were placed there purposefully. They could have been placed surreptitiously through the use of a virus. They could have been placed there through a website that Mr. Coben went to. Oddly, the computer technicians that analyzed these items for the state police, both the state police employee and the subcontractor, didn't do any types of virus scans on any of the Coben computers. So these computers could have been laced with viruses. I think one other thing the court needs to consider is they didn't actually analyze the computers themselves. What they did is they analyzed a bit-by-bit copy of these computers. And Mr. Chang, who was the expert for the defense in this case, said that there are errors that are introduced in those regards. So they're not actually looking at the recycle bin on the computer taken from Coben's house. They're looking at a copy of a recycle bin taken from the computer at Coben's house.
Is the critical question that we need to answer here whether the defendant, your client, downloaded the materials or whether they knew they existed on the computer?
I think the critical question, Your Honor, is whether he knew they existed. Because, unfortunately, you can download things without meaning to do so. Simply clicking on a website, Your Honor, clicking on a website will pull up the entire contents of the website. Those pictures that are on that website are then transferred to the temporary internet cache. When that website is shut down, the temporary internet cache is then moved into the unallocated space when it's attempting to purge it from the computer. So whether or not you're attempting to load those images, they can still end up on your computer. I think what we have to look at is whether it was a knowing possession. I think that's where the Commonwealth's case falls apart with regard to those nine images in the recycle bin.
But if your client does indeed have knowing possession of things that are illegal, isn't it his obligation to do something about it? And I'll give you an example. I wanted to buy some athletic shoes, and I went to a sporting goods shop that we all know, and I clicked on it, and it took me someplace where I did not want to go. I immediately informed the person who's in charge of the internet in my office when I was a circuit court judge that it took me to this site, and I didn't want to be there. Basically, I was acknowledging that I had no desire whatsoever to possess those items that were coming up. Isn't it your client's obligation, once he is taken somewhere where he should not be going, to at least take some steps to negate any responsibility of being there?
Well, I think Your Honor went above and beyond what the ordinary user would do. I think what the ordinary user would do if they went to...
Because I didn't want to go to jail, but...
Well, I think if the ordinary user clicked on a website and they went somewhere they didn't want to go, they just shut the browser down. Most people are not savvy to realize that simply seeing something on the computer places it on your hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other thing, Your Honor, is most people, if they had an image on their computer they didn't want, would just simply click delete. And with the Windows-based operating system, what that does is it moves it into the recycling bin. And it stays in the recycling bin until either it hits its time limit to purge or it's purged by space requirements. It actually takes an active effort to open the recycle bin, click on restore, to place that image back on the computer. So, yes, sir.
But again, I mean, these cases are difficult. You're making a very good argument. But when we look at these cases, the determination that we have to make is whether there's enough circumstantial, and the case is clearly a circumstantial case here, is there enough circumstantial evidence to allow a reasonable fact finder to conclude that your client's culpability has been proven beyond a reasonable doubt? And again, wouldn't we, if we agreed with the analysis that you're proposing here today, be substituting our view as to whether or not the totality of the circumstances suggested culpability?
You would be substituting your view, and we were asking for that, Your Honor. In the Moreland case, which is cited in the brief, one of the issues that the federal courts dealt with in that case and struggled with was the knowing possession, because there were three persons in the house who were using the computer. And in the course of that case, before it went to trial, the father-in-law who actually owned the computer passed away. So it all fell on Mr. Moreland, but there was no actual proof that it was Mr. Moreland who was using the computer.
But this is his work computer, though.
Yes, Your Honor. But as we pointed out in the brief, this is a portable computer. There was no evidence that this computer was password coded. So this could have been sitting in his classroom and somebody could have pulled up a website and it could have ended up that way. So there's no evidence that...
Okay, but I mean, a hypothesis of innocence has to be rooted in facts rather than suppositions, right?
Yes, sir.
So is there evidence in the record that it was sitting around in the classroom and students had access to it?
There's no evidence in the record, no, sir. But we believe it's a reasonable hypothesis of innocence, especially when the Commonwealth did not go forward and introduce any evidence of any restrictions of access to these computers. The burden's on them to prove their case, and they didn't say, for example, oh, only Mr. Coben knew the password to this. Furthermore, with the home computer, it becomes more complicated because we simply know the user account associated with those files was Coben. We don't know if that was Mr. Coben, Mrs. Coben, or perhaps both of them using the same user account at the same time. I see that my time is almost up, Your Honor, so I'll go ahead and sit down and reserve my 3 minutes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Chris Chanavel for the Commonwealth. I could begin just by clarifying the Commonwealth's position in this case. I would assert that the Commonwealth below did build a strong circumstantial evidence that at some point in time, Mr. Coben knowingly possessed 54 images of child pornography. However, because of the charging decision in the indictment, and because that indictment was limited to knowing possession on or about a certain date, and because that certain date was the date that the search warrant was executed and the computers were seized, that means we had to offer evidence that he knowingly possessed those images on or about that date. And because 45 of those images were found in unallocated space, and there was testimony from both experts that he could not have accessed those images there, we've conceded that the Commonwealth did not prove that on or about that date he knowingly possessed those images.
Could you, for our benefit, point to the circumstantial evidence that you believe supports the totality of the circumstances argument basis for culpability?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe there are three categories of the circumstantial evidence that support the conclusion that he knowingly possessed all nine images which were found in his recycle bin. The first, of course, as the court alluded to earlier, is his admission to the investigator that what they were looking for, and specifically what's on the search warrant, could be found in three locations, one of which was, quote, in the computer. I think it's reasonable to infer that he knew what they were looking for because they read the search warrants to him before they executed the search warrants. And when he stated that they could find what they were looking for in the computer, it allows the reasonable inference that the images of child pornography that they did indeed find in the computer that he referenced, that is what he was referring to in his admission.
So the preposition in becomes critical here.
Well, if he had said, I assume you could make the same point when you're saying on, because something on can be on a computer without physically laying on top of it. But yes, it seems like he knew that they were looking for more than the computer itself. They were looking for...
You find the computer in the study on the desk or whatever.
Correct, Your Honor. He specifically mentioned what could be found in the computer. I would also take issue with Mr. Coben's assertion that the search warrants didn't say anything about child pornography, because that is simply not borne out by the record. The search warrants, of course, were not entered into evidence in this case, so we can't see exactly what the search warrants said. So what we're left with is the testimony of one of the investigators who testified that they read the search warrants to him and that the search warrants, and this is from, let's see, this is from pages 388 through 389 of the appendix, that They obtained search warrants to look for child pornography and in relation to child pornography. And so it's reasonable to infer that when Mr. Coleman was read these search warrants, which were sworn out to search for child pornography, that he concluded after hearing what was contained in the search warrant that they were looking for child pornography in this case. So those admissions do go to his knowledge that there was still child pornography in his computer in a place where he could access it, which supports affirming the nine convictions for the images in the child pornography in the recycle bin, which does lead me to my second point, second category of evidence which supports affirming on these nine convictions, which is the location of these nine images in the recycle bin. And I haven't found a case in Virginia yet discussing the significance of the location of images there in the recycle bin, but there are cases from other jurisdictions I cited on brief and quoted from United States versus Hill, which is a case out of the Eighth Circuit decided fairly recently in 2014, where the court there discusses the significance of files being found in the recycle bin. And there is testimony as to the significance of files being found in the recycle bin, that they get there because a user deleted files that were elsewhere on his computer. They go to the recycle bin, and then the user has the option of going into the recycle bin, clicking on an icon, and restoring them.
Is that evidence, though, or are we extrapolating from this law on appeal?
It is in evidence, Your Honor, and I buttress the evidence somewhat with United States versus Hill, because I think that common sense, in today's day and age, the use of computers, clicking on an icon, is enough common sense that you don't necessarily need expert testimony on the significance of images in the recycle bin.
Was arguing that things go in the recycle bin after you, and maybe I misunderstood, but say you get inappropriately, you're unwittingly directed to a website you don't want to go to, and somehow things end up in the recycle bin.
So that's an important distinction. The majority of the testimony about cache files when you get online and your web page pulls up an image, the majority of the testimony from both experts is that most of the time what browsers will do will save a cached image on your hard drive, that those images are accessible while they're in the cache. However, the browser will eventually delete those files, but most browsers, and this is the testimony from Mr. Coleman's expert on page 707 of the appendix, that most browsers will automatically delete those images into the unallocated space.
So
here we have images in the recycle bin.
Is there any testimony in the record that they would go to the recycle bin as opposed to unallocated space or the hard drive?
The defense,
those are different things.
Correct. And the defense expert did testify, I believe, on page 720 of the appendix, that sometimes some browsers will send them to the recycle bin instead of sending them to the unallocated space. But he also testified that most of the time they go to unallocated space. The expert, Mr. Heflin for the Commonwealth, testified, and most of the time he just testified flat out they go to unallocated space. So I think the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, it's reasonable to infer that those images got to the recycle bin not as a result of viewing images online, but as a result of actually downloading the images
purposeful
and then deleting
activity.
Them. Purposeful user activity, correct, Your Honor?
Moving something to the recycle bin as opposed to something defaulting to the recycle bin.
Yes, Your Honor. And specifically, I want to get back to answering the question asked earlier about whether there's any evidence in the record about how images get to the recycle bin. I would cite the court to pages 570 and 571, and also pages 585 through 589, where the Commonwealth's expert testified about how images get to the recycle bin when a user deletes those images, and the user is able to go into the recycle bin and then restore them to their original location and view those images again. And Hill, the Eighth Circuit, extrapolated from that and concluded he's still exercising dominion and control over those images. He has complete dominion over control, can move them around, can still view them and use them for whatever purposes he chooses.
What about family members having access to the computer?
So the only evidence actually in the record of any other family members living in this home was Mrs. Coleman. There's no evidence actually in the record that anyone else lived in the home. So that's the only basis in the record for a hypothesis of innocence, that someone else accessed, used, viewed the images in the computer.
So you had three bases for saying that the circumstantial evidence was enough. You pointed
yes,
to two. What's the third?
The third is, frankly, and this is why I clarified at the beginning of my argument, the existence of the other 45 images on his two computers is circumstantial evidence that these nine images in the recycle bin were images that he personally had viewed, downloaded, and used. I clarified at the beginning that I'm not arguing that he knowingly possessed those images on or about the date in question. But I do think there's a strong circumstantial case that he knowingly possessed all of those images at some point in time.
So just because the 45 other images may not have been providently prosecutable, they still are corroborative evidence of some action that the defendant may have taken with regard to accessing legal material.
Correct, Your Honor. So I'm asserting that it's reasonable to infer that an individual who has three images of child pornography on his laptop computer, his school laptop computer, which was purchased brand new and solely for his use, that evidence corroborates images of child pornography found in the recycle bin of his desktop computer at home, that the same individual who had the images on the computer that he used for school was accessing and viewing the images that were on the desktop computer at home. In addition, the 45 images on the desktop computer at home, again, even though I'm not saying that we proved that he knowingly possessed them on or about this particular date, but that disproves the hypothesis of innocence that he just accidentally went to a website to look up sporting goods and just so happens to have a couple of images downloaded onto his computer. When you get to 54 separate images of child pornography, and again, there's no testimony that those were all the images that were found. Those were the images that the Commonwealth chose to indict based upon. And so when you get to this volume of images of child pornography that disproves...
There's no evidence of other images.
There's no evidence of other either. Correct, Your Honor. But I just want to make sure that we're clear that we're not saying, oh, 54 times he accidentally went to a sporting goods site and came away with these images. So that disproves that reasonable hypothesis.
I'm kind of regret saying that, I think.
He needs to choose a different sporting goods site at that point, I would assert. But that being said, the other hypothesis of innocence, there's nothing in the record about there being any sort of viruses on either of these computers. As I was saying earlier, Ms. Coleman, there's no evidence that she was getting on the computers, viewing, accessing, downloading child pornography. The hypothesis of innocence has to spring from something in the evidence. And of course, she did make the report which resulted in the search warrant to look for child pornography. I was very careful how I stated that in my brief because she did not testify at trial. So we don't know exactly what was contained in her report, but we know the result of the report was that they took out search warrants for child pornography and indeed found child pornography. So again, three categories of evidence: his admission that they would find what they were looking for, exactly where they found it; secondly, the location of the images in the recycle bin where he could access them, where he was exercising dominion and control over them, which supports the reason why he made that admission that they could find what they were looking for there, because they were found in a place where he could still access them and know that they were in that location on his computer; and finally, the existence of all these other images on his computer corroborates that these particular nine images were there because he was viewing them. And as the court, as the point was made earlier, we don't have to prove that he downloaded all of them, just that he knew that they were there and knowingly possessed them and exercised dominion or control over them on or about the date charged in the indictment. We think for all of those reasons that the evidence is sufficient to support affirming those nine convictions. So we would ask the court to do that. Unless there are further questions, I'll rest on my brief.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
About 3 minutes, counsel.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Your Honor. Well, Your Honor, as the
Attorney General's office conceded, 45 of those images did not give rise sufficiently to the convictions. Therefore, those should be reversed. What we're really arguing about is the nine remaining images, the images that were recovered from a recycle bin. Regarding the three categories that the Commonwealth raised, first of all, we would take issue with the admission from Mr. Coben based on what we'd argued previously. And the fact that Mr. Coben referred to something as being in the computers, part of what was encompassed in that first search warrant was a hard drive, and the hard drives are actually physically located within the computer. Secondly, the location of the images within the recycle bin is not an admission of guilt. It's quite the opposite. You put things in the recycle bin similar to the way you put things in the trash can to get rid of them, not to keep them. Thirdly, with regard to the 45 other images, we've used that word a lot, images.
But if I find cocaine in someone's trash in the kitchen, couldn't they be convicted of possession?
Well, if you find it in the trash in the kitchen, Your Honor, and there are other persons in the home, the argument would be, how do you know which person placed it in the trash can?
But assuming we can whittle that down,
assuming
you can retrieve it from the garbage can anytime you want.
Assuming so, Your Honor, but in this case, as with Your Honor's hypothesis, we can't whittle it down because we know there's at least one other person in the home who may have had access to this computer. And with regard to the third argument that the Commonwealth advanced as to their circumstances with the nine images in the recycle bin, we've talked a lot about images with regard to the pictures that were derived from the data fragments in the unallocated space. But I think what it behooves us to remember is these were not images that were found in a computer. This was data fragments, which were then reconstituted and built into images by a computer expert using some very sophisticated NK software. I mean, these were not images anyway. This is not something anyone could have clicked on and just seen. These were data fragments that were built into images. So we don't know exactly what those data fragments were. And I think the AG's office has conceded that the convictions arising out of those 45 should not have happened and should be reversed, but I don't think it also can be used to imply circumstances that Mr. Copeman was willfully engaged in possessing child pornography. Thank you for your Honor's time.
Yes, sir. We'll come down and greet counsel.
I'm sorry.